This morning's reading is Psalm 22. It's the entire psalm from verses 1 to 31, and you'll find this on page 543 in your pew Bibles. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? O my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, and am not silent. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions, tearing their prey, open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my brothers. In the congregation I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honour him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you will I fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. They who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, for he has done it.
Thanks, Christelle. Please leave your Bibles open there. Let me just get the clicker. Now, I just need to give you a little heads up that I'm going to tackle the passage a little bit different today than I normally would. So if you have questions or concerns about that, please talk to me afterwards. I'm still going to open up the Bible. It's just a little bit different to how I normally do it, so just heads up about that. But how about we pray that God would help us to understand his word? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us to understand your word. Please give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Father, please help us to see how Jesus was abandoned so that if we believe in him, we never have to be. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer by night and am not silent. Well, have these words or similar words ever been on your lips? Have you ever felt forsaken by God? Have you ever felt like God's just abandoned you to fend for yourself? Have you ever felt like God's just forgotten about you? Well, I'm sure if you're prepared to be honest today, most of us would have to say yes. From time to time, we have felt like that. We have felt like God's abandoned us. I know that I have. I know that very similar words have been on my lips. Now, I've shared a couple of times with you how life's been hard for me. I'm going to share another time today because life is continually hard, really, living in a broken world. It was the year 2009. I just started a traineeship at a church in Lismore, very similar to what Luke has just finished. On my first day of this traineeship, Deb was taken to hospital in an ambulance because they thought she was having a miscarriage. It was an ectopic pregnancy, which means that the fertilised egg, it's not where it's meant to be. I remember having to leave Henry, my oldest son, at someone else's house, and he didn't want to stay there, and he was crying. It was hard to deal with. Fast forward 6 months, I'm sitting in the surgery waiting room. Deb now actually is having an ectopic pregnancy removed. And I was thinking, God, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to talk to you because you're just going to do what you want to do. At that moment, I'd felt like God had abandoned me. He turned a deaf ear to my groans. He hadn't answered my prayers. Well, today I want to ask you, have you ever felt like that? Have you ever been in a situation like that? A situation where it feels like God's abandoned you. He's forgotten you. Well, as we open up Psalm 22 today, we're going to see that if we believe in Jesus, God will never abandon you. Because Jesus was abandoned on the cross so that God will never abandon us. Well, please have Psalm 22 open there in front of you. If you've been around church for a while, you would have noticed the mystery of Psalm 22 as it was read out. I hope you noticed the many ways that Psalm 22 points to Jesus. The New Testament picks up on Psalm 22 24 times. See, Psalm 22, it's written by David. You know, David's the guy, the shepherd boy who goes up against Goliath. But with so many connections to the New Testament, Psalm 22, and to Jesus, the question might be on your lips. The question is definitely on my lips. How can this psalm actually be about David when it sounds so much like Jesus? Well, have a look at verses 6 to 8 with me. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. See, how can this talk be talking about David? Well, maybe it is. Maybe it's talking about 1 Samuel chapter 30, where David's men are talking about stoning him because their wives and their children have been taken captive because they were off fighting with David. Maybe that's the situation that verses 6 to 8 are referring to, that sort of situation. But as we keep reading this psalm, it gets harder and harder to match up what's going on in the psalm with David's life. Have a look with me at verses 16 to 18. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men have encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count on my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. See, what's going on in these verses, it's not talking about David suffering from some sort of illness or persecution. It's describing an execution scene. Now, we know more about David than we do anyone else from this time in the Bible, but we don't ever read about a time like this. A time when he's encircled by evil men, a time when they've pierced his hands and his feet, a time when they're dividing up his garments and casting lots for his clothing. So what could this be talking about? Well, some Bible commentators have suggested that what's going on here is some sort of humiliation ceremony for the king, some sort of annual thing that happens. It happened in Babylon, maybe it happened in Israel. The problem is that there's no real data to back it up. One of the other suggestions is that because there's no record of it, doesn't mean it didn't happen. Maybe it did happen like this, but we just don't have any record of it. We're going to think about some more possibilities in a moment. But before we do, I just want to show you one more way that this psalm doesn't really appear to be talking about David. Have a look at verses 24 to 28 with me. For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you will I fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him, for dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. See, David is delivered from whatever's troubling him. God does deliver him from death. He does deliver him from the sword. He delivers the afflicted one. And because David is delivered, he will offer sacrifices to the Lord. He'll fulfill his vows amongst the people. And because of that, there'll be a sacrifice. A big animal will be killed. And the poor will eat and be satisfied. They'll get to eat the meat that's cooked. Now, all of that seems to sort of work for David. But then you get verse 27. And in verse 27, it just seems too much. Because of the way the Lord has delivered David, we don't see all the nations everywhere remembering the Lord and turning to him and worshipping him. This must be talking about another king. A greater king, a greater David. So are there other possibilities to explain what's going on here? Well, maybe David's a bit of an exaggerator. Maybe he's suffering a little bit, and maybe he's like all blokes, and he just sort of exaggerates his suffering, exaggerates his sickness. Maybe David has man flu. Now, I'm sure that many of you have come across man flu before. It's like the regular flu, but only men, when they have man flu, they can't function at all. They think they're going to die. Like, it's like, you know, you're calling out for your wife like it's your last breath. You know, women can make it through the flu. They can somehow toughen up. But men, we can't do it. It's like a life and death situation. And my wife will be able to testify to you to just, you know, how I call for her name. I call her like, Dad, Dad. She doesn't come. It's really hard. There's not much love. Anyway. Maybe David's like that. Maybe David's got man flu. And so he's exaggerating his suffering. And maybe he's exaggerating his glory as well. Maybe it's like a fish thing. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger every time he tells it. Well, take a deep breath. Breathe a sigh of relief. Because there is a good answer and you haven't heard it just yet. So the Apostle Peter, he makes sense of what's going on here in Acts chapter 2. See, in Acts chapter 2, Peter says that David is a prophet. We'll have a look at Acts chapter 2, verses 29 to 32. I'll put it on the screen for you. It says this: Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Peter is saying that David is a prophet, and he spoke about the resurrection of Jesus. And Peter goes on to quote Psalm 110, and it'd be great to read the rest of Acts chapter 2 later on. But Peter is saying that David was a prophet, and he spoke about the resurrection of Jesus in Psalm 110. And if David prophesied about Jesus' resurrection in Psalm 110, I think, and others think as well, the same thing is happening here in Psalm 22. David really is suffering. Something is going on for him that makes him feel abandoned by God. But where he goes with the psalm, it just doesn't seem to fit with his life. So as he's suffering and reflecting on what's going on, he prophesies. He's talking about a greater David, a greater king. He's talking about Jesus. Now, as we read the Psalms, we need to try and work out what are they originally saying in their original context. But at the same time, as we go through this psalm, I really hope you're asking the question, how can this psalm be about David? How can it not be about Jesus? See, when Jesus is on the cross, Jesus doesn't say very much when he's hanging on the cross, but he does say one thing, well, actually he says a couple of things, actually. But one of the things he says is from Psalm 22. It's in Matthew 27, verses 45 to 46. I'll put it on the screen. This is what he says. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Now, in those days when you sort of quoted a psalm, when you just quoted the first little bit, everyone knew that you were referring to not just that bit, but the whole psalm. And so if we want to understand what Jesus is doing on the cross, we need to understand Psalm 22. But in order to really understand Psalm 22, we need to see how it's actually fulfilled in Jesus. We're going to come back to that in a moment. But I really want to show you that Jesus really is the fulfillment of Psalm 22. So I want to show you some more words from Matthew 27, from verses 35 to 43. Compare these words with what you see in Psalm 22. I'll read them out to you. "When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots, and sitting down they kept watch over him there. Above his head they placed the written charge against him, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.' Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, 'You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God.' In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. 'He saved others,' they said, 'but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" See, Jesus is the one who was ultimately mocked by men. Men saying, "Let God rescue him if he wants him." Jesus is the one who had his hands and feet pierced as they crucified him. Jesus is the one who had his garments divided and lots cast for his clothing. Jesus is the one who suffered on the cross to pay for sin. And he's the one who was ultimately delivered from death at the resurrection. See, Jesus' body didn't see decay, it was raised to life. And now Jesus is at God's right hand in heaven. And people from all the earth, people from everywhere praise his name, generations serve him, and future generations will be told about Jesus. See, Psalm 22, it's ultimately about Jesus. Now, I'm not sure if you know who the guy on the screen is. Some of the older members might, some of the younger members might not. His name is Charlie Chaplin. I can remember him just sort of dancing on some sort of video, just dancing around with his little mustache and his little hat. And that's about it. It was mostly silent films, from what I understand, but maybe not as well. But he was a famous English comic actor. And apparently in 1975, several years before his birth, Charlie Chaplin entered a lookalike contest of himself in France. Now, he probably thought, you know, I'm going to go into this contest. It's about looking like me. Surely I'm going to win, right? Surely this is going to go down really well for me. And it'll be quite funny when I win this contest. He didn't win. He came third. Now, that's a bit ironic, isn't it? It's a bit crazy to go in a contest that's about, you know, about you, about looking like you, and you as a person go in and you don't win. It's a bit strange. Well, if we don't see that Psalm 22 is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus, if we still think it's ultimately fulfilled in David, well, we miss the point. We have a Charlie Chaplin moment. See, Jesus fulfills this psalm, because it's talking about him. So why does Jesus say these words on the cross from Psalm 22 verses 1 and 2? Why does he say this? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning, Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night and am not silent. Jesus says these words on the cross because the hardest part about being on the cross is that he really was forsaken by God his Father. He really was abandoned by God his Father. Jesus doesn't cry out, ah, my feet and my hands and my head, which no doubt were hurting, but he does cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, Jesus is delivered from death and now he's king of the whole world. But on the cross, he really was separated from God. God's wrath was poured out on him. The sin of all the world, of all time, was poured out on him. And the Trinity was somehow broken. See, the Trinity is an idea we get in the Bible. The word's not used in the Bible. But the idea is this. There is one God made up of three persons. There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God, three persons, and somehow, in a way that's beyond our understanding, God the Son is separated from God the Father as God the Father's wrath is poured out on him on the cross. So you imagine how distressed Jesus is as he's separated from his forever Father on the cross. They've loved each other perfectly, forever. And now the Father has forsaken him so that our debt can be paid, so that we don't have to experience God's wrath if we believe in Jesus. On the cross, God's Son was forsaken. He was abandoned by God the Father. Jesus was shut out of the Father's presence. Jesus was forsaken so that we never will be. Friends, Psalm 22 helps us to know that God will never forsake you. Even if it feels like it, even if it looks like God's abandoned you, that's not the true reality. God will never forsake you because he has forsaken his Son on the cross. He actually did abandon Jesus on the cross. They were somehow separated. So whatever it is that you're facing now, or whatever it is that you might face in the future, even if it feels or looks like God has abandoned you, when the words of Psalm 22 are coming to your lips, look to the cross and remember the way that those words were on Jesus' lips. Remember the way that Jesus was forsaken so that we never will be. And remember that if you trust in Jesus, one day we'll be delivered from this fallen, broken world. And one day we'll live with him in perfection forever. Where there's no more pain, there's no more suffering, there's no more tears, there's no more death. Whatever you're going through, if you believe in Jesus, God hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't abandoned you. You might not understand your situation. You might never understand your situation in this life. But friends, when you feel forgotten by God, look to the cross and Jesus' death on it and know that God hasn't abandoned you. Friends, whatever your situation is, I hope that Psalm 22 helps you to see clearly in 2020 and helps you to see clearly for the rest of your life as you face all sorts of troubles. But friends, I should say that if you don't trust in Jesus, one day God will forsake you. He will shut you out of his presence. And once he shuts you out of his presence, there's no coming back. You'll be shut out of his presence forever and ever. Today, if that's you, you need to think long and hard about the claims of Jesus and talk to someone about Jesus. In the coming weeks here at church, we're going to start Christianity Explored. It's a great course about what Jesus has done, his life, his death, and his resurrection. Please talk to me after the service if you'd like to know more about that. Well, friends, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, we do have cause to rejoice because God won't forsake us. God is with us through whatever we're facing. And that is wonderful news. It's news that we should tell others about. It's news that we should tell future generations about. Well, friends, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for Jesus. Father, thank you that he is the one who was abandoned by you on the cross. Father, help us to know that because he was abandoned, that if we believe in you, we will never be abandoned. You'll always be with us. Father, help us to cherish that. Father, help us to know that even when it doesn't feel like it, help us to know that that's true. And Father, help us to pass this wonderful news on. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.